truly a good day, and I think we understand the significance of today. And I want you to go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to look into some familiar verses this morning as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper together. Luke chapter 22, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 20. If you were to go to Milan, Italy today, you might be a little disappointed if you were going to look at the famous painting, The Last Supper, because it was painted on the wall of a monastery in a dining room, of all places. And now the colors are so faint that you can barely see the painting, and there's been some restoration going on for years without a lot of success. And if you knew the history of the world's most famous, one of the world's most famous painting, you would be even more disappointed, because the wall in which it was painted began to crumble almost immediately after it was done. And there were some monks that actually cut a door in the wall, cutting off the feet of Christ in the painting. Later, the building became a stable. Then it was a storage room. Then it was a barracks for soldiers. And it amazes us, because we understand this is such a great piece of artwork, and it amazes us that this great piece of art could have been treated so casually. But then the very supper that inspired its painting is treated casually by many today, even by some who profess that they follow Jesus who instituted it. And the Lord's Supper is something that's significant. Some call it communion. Some call it the Eucharist. But it's a celebration in churches all over the world today. And each name of the Lord's Supper brings an event. It's an event that brings out the different meanings of the Lord's Supper. It's the Lord's Supper because it commemorates the Passover meal that Jesus ate with his followers. It's communion because we commune with God and other believers. It's the Eucharist because we thank God for Christ's work in us. But in this familiar passage this morning in Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20, we read of a very intimate moment in which Jesus spent time with his followers, his disciples, just prior to being arrested. And we know what happened after that. We understand what's coming. But this is an intimate moment that he spent with his disciples. Let's read about it. And then I just have a few words to say about it. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. When the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, "I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. It is shed for you." And as we read this familiar scripture, we understand from a biblical point of view that the Lord's Supper has a deep theological and deep spiritual meaning for us. Because Jesus told his disciples that they were about to embark. He wasn't telling them that he was about to embark in something very important. And they were to observe this ordinance from now on in remembrance of what he is going to do for them. Today, Jesus calls us to remember that he gave his body and he poured out his blood so that our sins can be forgiven. It also carries a personal responsibility for each of us to participate in doing this with reverence and humility and sincerity, understanding and thinking about and proclaiming Christ's great act of love. In just a minute before we're going to take the elements together, I want us to do something that Paul encourages us to do over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, to examine our hearts. He says in verses 27 and 28, he said, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. So man should examine himself. In this way, he should eat the bread and drink from the cup." I want you to notice something here, and I've said it before, and you've heard me say it before, and I will say it again later on when we do the Lord's Supper again. But when we read this scripture, Paul did not say that we had to be worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper, but that we should partake of it in a worthy manner. Because in reality, I think we all understand, in and of ourselves, none of us is worthy enough, right? We're not worthy to take the Lord's Supper. All believers are sinners saved by God's grace. And because we are saved, we can celebrate this observance as given to us by Jesus, our Savior. So observing the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner means something significant. It means to come without a solemn understanding of what is being remembered, and without a repentant and humble spirit before the Lord. That's how we do it in an unworthy way. These Corinthian Christians were rushing into it. They were hogging all the elements for themselves. They were actually, some of them, getting drunk instead of doing it for the right reasons. And so Paul had to set them straight. When you do this, you are sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. You're doing it in an unworthy manner. And so to do it in a worthy manner means that we understand the significance of what is being remembered. And so I want us to pause this morning to do that. We're going to just bow our heads, and Andrew's going to come and play quietly just for a few minutes. And I want you to examine your heart before the Lord. Whatever that means for you in this moment, if you need to say in your mind, make a commitment today, "Lord, I'm going to understand, and I'm doing this for the right reasons," or maybe there's things in your life you need to confess to the Lord, or maybe you just want to sit quietly and listen to the music and let the Lord sing over you. In this time of examination, do what comes to your heart, comes to your mind that you need to do. Take care of that before we go any further. And then we'll receive the elements together. So let's pause and do that right now. And then I'll close this in prayer in just a few minutes, okay? Father, this morning we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for this worship that we have today, this observance of the Lord's Supper. And Lord, we understand that it is an act of worship today. And Lord, we don't want to run into this doing it for the wrong reasons. It's not just something that we do because it's required. Lord, we do it today to truly remember and reflect upon great sacrifice that you gave on the cross. Father, we understand the significance of your body which was broken. We understand the significance of your blood that was shed. And without those things, there is no forgiveness of sin. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you right now. We commit our hearts, our minds, our ears, our whole bodies to you, Lord. We listen, we reflect, and we love you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't received one of our Lord's Supper cups and you want to participate this morning, please raise your hand. Ken's got some extras there. He'll come to you and give it to you, but hopefully everybody's got one. These are a little bit different than what we used before. I think they're better. I've not used them yet. I've not tried anything in here yet, but I think it will be a lot easier for us to navigate these as opposed to the other ones that we used before. But as we just read in our scripture this morning, we understand there are two elements that Jesus talked about with his disciples. During this meal, he took two traditional parts of the Passover meal, the passing of the bread and drinking of the wine, and he gave them a new meaning, a new representation, if you will. When passing the bread, what did Jesus say? He said, "This is my body." Why did Jesus refer to the bread as his body? Well, this is not the only time that Jesus referred to bread as his body. If you remember over in John 6:35, what did he say? He said, "I'm the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again." Think about bread for just a minute. It's kind of a staple food, isn't it? I mean, bread has been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's considered a staple food. It's a basic dietary item. And you can survive a long time with only bread and water. Bread is such a basic food item that it becomes synonymous for food in general. When we hear the phrase breaking bread together, what do we realize? You're having a meal together. You're not just eating bread. But when you break bread together, you're having a meal with somebody else to indicate that we're sharing a meal with them. So bread plays an integral part of the Jewish Passover meal. The Jews were to eat unleavened bread during the Passover feast, and then for 7 days following, as a celebration of the Exodus from Egypt. Finally, when the Jews were wandering in the desert for 40 years, the Bible says that God rained bread from heaven down to sustain the nation. So Jesus is saying that bread symbolizes his body, which was necessary for salvation. And when he broke the bread, he is portraying the sacrifice that he would make and the spiritual benefit that would be passed on to all of us who have a personal relationship with him. So in just a minute, as we eat this bread, we should remember and we should be grateful for God's wonderful gift through his son, Jesus. I just want you to listen now as Andrew sings a song. Let the Lord sing this over you this morning as we prepare to receive the bread.
He invites us to the table, all the weak and the able. There's a meal there, it is so fine. Christ prepared it, let us share it as he breaks the loaf of bread and he fills the cup with finest wine. Finest meal you'll ever eat.
Side up, take off your seal, and get out your bread. Let's pray and thank God for the bread. Father, this morning we thank you for the bread, for what this little cracker represents. It represents your body, was broken upon the cross, beaten, bruised, afflicted. Father, we're thankful for the pain that you endured. We're thankful that we have forgiveness of sin because of your broken body. We thank you for the bread. May you be glorified today as we partake of it. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As with the bread, Jesus spoke symbolically about the cup. He said, "This is my blood." Now, he wasn't talking about his literal blood. I mean, he was sitting right there with him. But Jesus' blood, which would be shed on the cross, began a covenant between God and his people, a new covenant. Jesus referred to it as a new covenant. And a covenant, if you don't know what a covenant is an arrangement established between two parties of people. An arrangement that is binding, cannot be altered. And so God established this covenant between him and humans. And so we can either accept it or reject it, but we cannot alter it in any way. It is firm and secure. In the Old Testament covenant, God had agreed to forgive people's sins if they would bring animals to the priest to sacrifice. When the sacrificial system was started, the agreement between God and man was sealed with the blood of animals. But animal blood did not, in and of itself, remove sin. Because we understand God can only remove the sin. These animal sacrifices had to be repeated year after year after year. And then Jesus instituted a new covenant between humans and God. And under this new covenant, Jesus would die in the place of sinners. And unlike the blood of animals, Jesus' blood would truly remove the sins of everyone who put their faith and trust in him. And Jesus' sacrifice would never have to be repeated. It would be good for all of eternity. And so as we drink this cup, we should remember and be grateful for God's wonderful gift through his Son, Jesus Christ. And also recognize that this blood, this juice in the cup, represents the blood of the most precious person that ever walked the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. The Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly laid down his life and allowed his blood to be shed on our behalf. Think about that now as Andrew sings, as we prepare to take the cup.
When you eat of the bread and you drink from the cup, remember the Lord and the life he gave up. He hung there to die that you and I might live eternally. Judgment comes not from the east or the west, from north and the south only God knows the best. He condemns those who sin and those who are wrong, but he acquits those who praise him in song. When you eat of the bread and you drink from the cup, remember the Lord and the life he gave up. He hung there to die that you and I might live eternally. The Lord is the King, he is majesty, strength. The earth is in place to eternal length. More powerful than the roar of the sea, he rescues us all from our sins and sets us free. When you eat of the bread and you drink from the cup, remember the Lord and the life he gave up. He hung there to die that you and I might live eternally. Enter his temple with joy and thanksgiving. Tell all the world that the Lord is still living. Every woman and man, young girl and boy, worship the Lord with your songs filled with joy. When you eat of the bread and you drink from the cup, remember the Lord and the life he gave up. He hung there to die that you and I might live eternally. So sing a new song to the Lord whom we love. Trumpets and harps sound the music of love. Rivers sing out, clap your hands loud with praise. He rules the earth, every part of our days. When you eat of the bread and you drink from the cup, remember the Lord and the life he gave up. He hung there to die that you and I might live eternally.
Now take off the seal of the cup. And let's pray and thank God for the cup. Father, as we reflect upon this cup and the contents that are in it, Lord, we are reminded that it represents the blood of your Son, who willingly allowed his blood to be shed on the cross. And we understand that that is what washes us as white as snow, that that is what brings about the forgiveness of sins. It's the blood of Jesus. Father, we understand that even though this juice might be sweet to our taste, we understand the bitter circumstances of its offering. It means the most precious life that has ever walked the earth. A life was given. Father, may we remember that this morning as we drink it in remembrance of you. Bless the cup now as we receive it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray and thank God. Father, we thank you today for what we receive. We thank you for the life that we have in you. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that lives inside of us and the joy that you bring in the midst of suffering, the message that you've given us to proclaim to others. Father, we thank you for all these things. We thank you that in your great love, you sent your Son to be our Savior. And Father, we understand that when we participate in the Lord's Supper together, that we are proclaiming the death of Jesus to the world. And I pray that we might proclaim that message, but also the message of hope, is that you rose again victoriously, defeating sin and death and hell. And Lord, that is a message that should always be on our lips. And we should always be ready to proclaim to a world that needs so much hope. So, Father, help us to that end. We thank you that your Holy Spirit empowers us to be the church and gives us the strength to do what you've called us to do. So, Lord, be glorified in us this week. Help us to proclaim that message for so many to hear. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And we pray together. Amen. You know, next week,